Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us. An hour of some outstanding sports talk on the program, largely high school hoops, but we'll also mix in some NFL and Major League Baseball talk over the next 60 minutes as well. So let's introduce our in-studio panel tonight. Of course, the outstanding co-host of The Morning Call, senior sports writer, Mr. Keith Groller, and the man that Keith introduced a few weeks ago as the greatest RCN broadcaster of all time, RCN basketball analyst Tom Stout.
No, I was watching that show. No, I wasn't the guy.
I meant the one and only.
Hey, I'm honored.
You introduced him.
I'm honored that Tom is here because I can't get Gary Laubach, who is the best all-time, easily the gold
Tom
standard.
Was supposed to be on that show.
No.
You said I was disappointed in not working with
No, listen to me. I wanted Gary Laubach here. I think they ought to build a statue out front to Gary Laubach. That's how good I think he is compared to some other people. But if I can't get Gary.
This the sucking up segment.
If I can't get Gary, you're the next best thing, Tommy.
Happy belated birthday,
liver,
my friend.
Thank you. He's not chopped liver, you know. Come on, give the guy some credit.
He's the next best thing to Gary. Mm.
You know, we can just have a suck up segment for like the whole half hour if you really want to.
I know who pays the bills around.
All right. Well, we got a lot of sports talk to get to, and I want to pick your brain. A lot of exciting district basketball moments. I think overall it was very good. So let's start with the positives. And I think the 6A boys and girls was tremendous for many different reasons. Probably the biggest one is the success that was on at the PPL Center with the semifinals. Tom and Keith, you were both there. So first, let's start with that and the excitement about that big moment and those big games at the PPL Center. Hopefully the first of many to come.
And Keith, you'll agree, and so will you, Chris. I think it just exceeded everybody's expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking maybe 4,000, 5,000, and the way it just played out, you couldn't have asked for a better environment. That's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. I still get goosebumps talking about it.
Me too. And Tommy, you were from the same era. We grew up going to Deerfield Allen basketball games when we were young, and when you had to get to the gym really early, or you had to stand in line,
to get tickets.
I went around the block a couple times. I mean, it was like a throwback to a special era that we kind of grew up with. And yeah, I got the goosebumps. Allen made it happen. I mean, Allen is the team that made it happen. And when that roar from that crowd, Allen crowd, was unbelievable.
The initial play, the alley-oop, of course.
It's a league play
of the game. And you know what was neat about that crowd? And there was people in their 90s that were brought to the game. And, you know, they're going back to J. Bernie Crum. And and then you had, you know, the Allen graduates from just a couple years ago. You saw some outstanding play. It was just a fantastic atmosphere and environment. And, wow, I don't know what else to say. That was just super.
But this was, as we wrote about a few times now, it was a magical convergence. I mean, it all started perhaps. I don't think if they don't get a sellout crowd at the EPC championship, I don't think they even think about the PPL Center.
Wait a minute. I thought they care about the kids and they care about the community and they want to do everything.
Well, I don't think they realized how much popularity.
Well, it's funny, those schools came out after the great turnout, though.
Yeah, I mean, they don't like to turn people away. They turned a couple hundred away that night. And that gave them the idea, hey, we might need a bigger. I used the Jaws reference. Oh, we're going to need a bigger boat. Well, they're going to need a bigger gym. And they certainly thought about it. Parkland obviously involved. They couldn't go to Parkland. You know, they could have went back to Freedom, but, you know, Freedom or Liberty, I guess. But they came up with a perfect idea, and a couple different people made it happen, and it was a wonderful night.
And it's a historic night in Lehigh Valley High School basketball. And we'll probably not – I hope we'll see that again, but I highly doubt that. It was like a perfect storm.
You really – I think it'll happen again.
But I think you're going to max out at maybe 5,500 or 6,000. You're never going to see 8,000 people in there again.
Well, didn't District 11, I thought they were trying to get wrestling in there for a couple of years. Why did it take so long for that to happen? Did they need to say, we're going to get 5,000 people here, so now we'll make it worth
a while? No, it's really simple. They have the Phantoms control that building.
Yeah.
The Phantoms, now Hershey's got more flexibility because they're an old franchise. They can dictate to the AHL when they want use of the Giant Center.
Yeah.
The Phantoms are a relatively young franchise,
but they don't play every night.
They primarily use weekends, and they're not going to budge. But now, is this an eye opener?
Yeah,
I think it's going to increase their desire to want to bring in high school, maybe even get the championships in there at one point. See how that goes. This is only a semifinal, and it wasn't even an elimination. The other years there was an elimination, right?
Exactly.
This year we knew all these
four
teams were
going on.
Not only to the finals or the conference,
guaranteed state playoffs.
Yeah.
And didn't
District 11 luck out because you had four very good, I'm not going to say the four most popular student sections or followers, but certainly Allen, Pocono Mountain West, Emmaus, and Parkland, they all draw well.
Allen doesn't have a student section. They have a strong alumni section.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, Allen, I don't think can compare to Parkland or Emmaus or some of the other schools with student fans. But what they have is a great following that extends back decades.
But and I agree with you, but this year, though, the students did come out. They got aboard this train ride and early on. Because we did one of the first games of the year, we did, I think Freedom was at Allen. And there was a nice student.
That was the opener.
Yeah, that was the opener. And there was a nice student section. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And it just kept going and going. And, wow, again.
But, Tommy, we had seven 1,000-point scores. We had, I think, three of the all-time leading scores at their respective schools. Now, the Pocono Mountain West guys keep flip-flopping. Isaiah Wiggins and Lance Singh. Now, Lance Singh is just now moved back ahead of them. Yeah. But then you had Sam Iorio. You have David Kakarese. When are we ever going to see, like, iconic players, really, marquee iconic players?
And put it in perspective, it would have been eight if Matt Kakarese wouldn't have suffered his injury. Sophomore, junior year, I don't remember which year.
He still thinks he's got a shot at 1,000.
I think they have to win two games.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah. I think they might get my shot against Cheltenham, though. We'll see.
I like some of our team's chances.
Yeah,
all right, we'll get to the state playoff talk in a moment. By the way, Keith rips me all the time for stuff. One of the things is that I don't give you proper credit. I want to single it out again. Right. He predicted that Allen was not going to win district playoffs. I asked you in, I think, mid-January, all right, are we ready to hand the league and district titles over to Allen? You said, no, I have a bad feeling. I think they're going to lose one of them, and you were right about that. So,
thank you.
And that was a great effort by Parker.
Please
record
to keep that. Please keep that in the vault.
I thank you all the time. Tom here, he watches the show. He catches all this, right?
I watch you guys all the time.
All right.
And I watch Tommy whenever I can. He's one of my
And
favorites.
The greatest announcer of all time, too. You know, there's a shrine out there by his office, too. Tom was bowing down before he came in here, too. If you
want
to catch him on the way out.
We don't want a shrine. We're going statue next time.
All right, 6A playoffs, though.
Yeah.
Break it down. Allen obviously did not get to the final, but they're in anyway. All four teams advance. As far as the 6A, boys and girls, I thought it was very competitive overall. Girls, Nazareth Easton, that was the matchup everyone wanted to see on the girls' side. The championship, not as climactic as what you saw at the PPL Center, but overall I thought 6A, boys and girls, was very competitive. Your thoughts?
Well, starting with the boys, again, this is the deepest I think we've, again, and when we're lucky to have four teams. Just think if we only allowed two teams to go, it'd be a shame.
Mm-hmm. And see Allen and Emmaus sitting home.
Yeah. Exactly. And just the players on all these teams, and just the talent. For as good as this year is going to be, all these teams are going to lose a ton of players, and so we'll see what happens next year. And again, in the old days, you had to wait your turn to be at Deerf. I didn't get to start till I was a senior, and now everything this day and age, instant gratification. But it was nice to see this year some teams were. Parkland, a lot of these kids had to wait their time, and they started rough, but again, give them credit, and it's just been a magical year. And again, the 6A, there's some talent. I try to look into the state, what we got out there, and it's a crapshoot.
Well, the thing with Pocono Mountain West is that we kind of don't respect them probably enough because they have flamed out over the years a couple different times. Do they play in that division, the kind of competition that we see down here in the Valley? No. There's some bad teams up there. Pleasant Valley is not very strong. East Stroudsburg South is not very strong.
Pocono Mountain East.
Pocono East. But they can play. I mean, you have three 1,000-point scores, and they're relentless. The word that comes to mind with West is relentless. They hit the glass. They did a great defensive job against Sam Iorio in the championship game.
When he
hold them to 4 points in the first half, and three came at the buzzer. I mean, I think they deserve a lot of credit. And East Stroudsburg North, I know we're not going, we don't want to go to 5A yet, but East Stroudsburg North has been, to me, the story of the postseason. Yeah. Now, I mean, if they met again, would Allen beat Parkland? Maybe. I mean, would Emmaus knock off? I've seen Emmaus. Now, that was back in early December, too. I'd seen Emmaus knock off West, but those four teams are very, very close, and all four of them could have been the champion. All four of them could have been the 0-2 team going in as our number four seed. So, in the boys' side, nothing surprised me. And on the girls' side, hey, Easton's got experience. I mean, experience is such an important factor. That's why Pocono Mountain West, I believe, wins. And the boys' side, Easton's got those kids that seemingly have been around for a long time. Bloshuck and Stocker Myers. I mean,
Olivia,
they've been around a
George.
While. They have a winning pedigree there.
And the thing I like about Coach Lutz's team, last year they won the EPC. This year they win the district title. But they've had injuries. They've had illnesses. You talk about resilient, a team that's really maintained. Heck, they have Leanna Deegan. She doesn't even start. She averages 8.5 a game and over 10 rebounds. You know, it's just a really neat group of girls. And I like, they'll rip your heart out. I like, you know, they'll just, every loose ball, and they're just so tough, and they're physically tough, they're mentally tough, and they're experienced. I, you know, they could make a nice run here.
The thing I notice about girls is every possession's important, and baskets are cherished on the girls' side. Well, you know, you can blink, you know, you just take a pause and turn around to the guy behind you. You can miss four baskets in an Emmaus Pocono Mountain West game. But every possession's treasured, and the defense is tough, and they work hard for every basket they can get on the girls' side of things.
I was impressed with, again, point-wise, you're right, Keith, but defensively, Nazareth in that game against East, they battled so hard, and every possession, you don't want to turn the ball over. And again, while it's, you know, maybe the points aren't there, but you give them credit for the tenacity, the intensity level that they bring to the game.
All right, we're going to do our previews for the states coming up, but first I want to recap the 5A bracket. Keith said it, probably the story of the district playoffs, East Stroudsburg North. And help me out, because I have questions for both the 5A and the 4A. 5A, it's expanded playoffs. Everyone thought, I know people in Whitehall thought, well, we're guaranteed a spot in the final. I thought Bangor was going to make the final. I knew Pottsville was going to be good, you know, because you never know their level of competition. But I heard they were better than normal. But Bangor, Whitehall, Central, who had been playing well the last couple of weeks, even Southern Lehigh had a very nice team this year. None of them. No teams from the Lehigh Valley in expanded playoffs doesn't make the 5A bracket. So what do you take out of the 5A? Was it a disappointment in terms of Lehigh Valley fans?
Well, I think it was a disappointment. But again, Keith, like you said, I didn't get to see East Stroudsburg North. And they come down, and you know, they got the Azami kid who just controls that. And then they have 6'6 and 6'7, Devontae Wiggins and Bellinger and
Darren Bellinger.
And the other kids just lay it all on the line, and they turn the ball over a lot, but they don't care. They'll just come back at you and get another turnover for them. And I was really impressed. And I think they were the most athletic, and they had two bigs that could go get the rebound. I think they did, you know, they deserved to win that. I could see how somehow early in the year they lost some games because they lose their composure.
What I don't understand is how they only scored 24 against Central the first time they played.
43-24.
And that bothered me because that was on our pick'em contest, and I picked North to win that game, and they scored 24 when I pick 'em, you know, but anyway.
I said on our broadcast before when we did the – I said if North scores 24 points or less today, I'm walking home from Pleasant Valley because I couldn't figure that out either.
And I noted. I noted that. I think I tweeted it out late in the first half. They hit 24. And I said on the tweet, well, they've already topped what they did the previous game. But look, I don't care how you slice it. Whitehall was a disappointment. This was a very good basketball team for most of the year and maybe a little bit too dependent on running up-tempo, and when they got slowed down, they weren't as effective, and there were some discipline issues there. You know, one young man left the team late in the year. Another guy was disciplined a couple different times. I think Whitehall has got to be considered a disappointment, and I feel bad for Jeff Jones. I feel bad for the seniors that really cared, that wanted
eight
to
seniors,
be there. Logan McGinley comes to mind, and some of those other guys. They played hard. But I don't know how you can't call it a disappointment. And they had a big lead, a sizable lead in the game they lost to North.
And 60-53 with 4 minutes to go.
They didn't score the rest of the game. Bangor's also got to be a disappointment. I thought Bangor, coming off the Colonial League Championship, I thought they would at least win one game. They had issues.
He removed two kids.
And they lost a lot of athleticism when they lost those two guys. Yeah. So sometimes you can, you know, look good in December and you look great in January, but you got to have your guys there in mid-February. And certainly Bangor and Whitehall were not at full strength, and it hurt them. It hurt them big time.
Yeah. And Whitehall ended up finishing 5-6. And Tom, as you mentioned, Bangor lost two key people. Bron Holland had a nice kind of 8-man rotation and had some different players who could do different things. And then all of a sudden you get to the postseason and you lose, as Keith said, a lot of the athleticism and their two key guys off the bench.
Because Pottsville that night, they went 6-7 and 6-5, and Bangor had nobody, you know, the Benton brothers, but they had no other guys coming off the bench to contain them.
The one team in that 5A bracket that I know, obviously they wanted to compete and they wanted to do well, but the one you don't feel so sorry for is Central Catholic because they return just about everybody back. I know they're going to miss Ocasio, but they're going to have a lot of people back. If he can get them on the same page, I think Central might come into the next season as maybe one of the top two or three teams to beat, maybe number one. I mean, Central's the one team that has a lot of good people coming back next year.
And they played defense. That's, you know, the 24-point game. They held Whitehall well below their average. So they had some nice defensive efforts. I think consistency is the big thing for Central. And scoring a little bit more, especially on a daily basis.
Even the North game, the game they lost, and Ocasio, very nice young man. He got fouled. They were winning 39-36, and he lost his composure a little bit and said something or something.
Got a technical.
Central didn't score again the rest of the game. And they, so everything that could have happened in positive for East Stroudsburg North did, plus their athleticism and their effort. You got to give their coach, John DeJesus, a lot of credit. Young guy.
He'd be at the – right now he's probably in the top four of the Coach of the Year finalists
I would agree. He's done a fantastic job.
Right. And at the 4A level, you have, first of all, Becca was at 4A, which I know raised some eyebrows when the schedule came out and the basketball season started. How can Becca, an EPC team, be playing with all these Colonial League teams and Schuylkill League teams? But that aside, the 4A games, you had Becca playing at an unbelievably high level. They looked great. Both the boys and the girls looked great. And then you had everyone else. And some of those games, quite honestly,
I was struggling to stay awake. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but those games were well in hand. And the only thing that happened there was, how about that Saucon game where they went like 6 minutes without scoring?
It was 5-0.
I was like, what's going on here? But they clearly were the most, and I know they mixed in that was a sub-regional, and people don't grasp the sub-regional concept yet. But the teams that came in that they faced, and then I think they got a bit of a break too when they get Thorpe in the championship game and not Salisbury. Salisbury, I think, would have given them a much better game. I think they would have still won. But Jim Thorpe played beautifully. I mean, just you talk about old school basketball.
Backdoor cuts all over the place.
Old school basketball. They controlled the tempo. They did all those things that we saw Dick Tracy and Dick Schmidt. Some legendary coaches do years ago. But then the talent just took over when Becca met them in the championship game.
Do you think this is, I mean, going forward, the 4A, I think Becca, this is their division to lose for the foreseeable future. I mean, in that one game, Ray Barbosa brought in the second team, the third team, and the guys on the third team, I think, could certainly be starters on a lot of other teams in the Lehigh Valley.
Well, he certainly has a talented group of players, and he does a very nice job. Is his second year?
Second year.
Yeah, and he was a tremendous player, and he's a tremendous coach. I like the way he handled. He had a tough situation with DeAndre Till. I think he did an admirable job this year. I think he just
He grew as a coach. Yes. There's no question. He's a more mature coach. He knows how to handle situations. And you did. It's not equal. You've been there. You know it's not. You got to evolve. And he has. And it helps to have a 6'9 guy named Ryan Young in there. I mean, he just took over the first game against Lower Moreland. I thought he was going to have 50 rebounds. He didn't score in the second half. Mm-hmm. But he was phenomenal.
Now, Tom wants to pick a fight with you because he thought he had 22 rebounds that day, and you've had 25 in the paper. So are you going to Bowman had 21, too. So you all got to get together.
I count little tips and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, everybody – the thing about a basketball game, you get five stat guys, you're going to get five different totals. I say the same thing about football. The only thing that's there you can't argue with generally is points. But
that was a phenomenal game. 23, 24, 25, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just a monster game. And he's that rim protector that, you know, can alter shots, block shots, start that fast break going. And, again, I like their squad. But you play in the EPC, you play that level, then you kind of walk through your – what are they going to see in the state playoffs? They're going to run into a team that – are they going to be able to turn it back on, so to speak? They haven't had to turn it on they got drubbed by Allen.
Since the Allen game.
But like their chances,
and East Stroudsburg North nearly beat them. Again, that was a game that Becca had in hand, and here comes North, and it took a Will Nelson three at the buzzer to knock off – or North could have been in the league final.
North was down 18. They came all the way back and took the lead, and then Melson bailed them out.
A couple of minutes ago, I made Central kind of like the favorite. Well, I can't forget that Justin Paz and Ryan Young are back.
They're all back,
And I think Melson's back.
So
everyone except Pettiford, I think.
We had the Holy War, you know, in football, and they always talk about the Holy War. We could have a Holy War on the hardwood next year because those two teams could be the two teams to beat.
All right, joining Keith Groehler and myself, Tom Stout, RCN basketball analyst. Not the greatest announcer of all time, as Keith said on an earlier show, but I'm sure Keith will make it up to you, buying you dinner or something. Hey, before we get to our trivia, we're going to have more basketball playoff talk coming up on the other side of this break, but I heard Tom rip me after I set him up with some softball trivia questions last week, including one self-gratifying one, which promoted your article, by the way, Tom and the art and his great team in 1978, too, when he graduated, too. And then I heard Tom rip me because he said my trivia questions are too easy. So if this one's too tough, I want you to call Tom tomorrow at Deerfield High School. Who's the principal over there, too? Call him, too. Complain. Complain to everyone over there if you don't like this trivia question, because Tom wants harder trivia questions here on the show. All right, your chance to win with this question. Who did Parkland's boys basketball team lose to in last year's PIAA tournament? We need the team that Parkland lost to right around this time last year, although deep in the PIAA tournament. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, along with co-host Keith Groehler, RCN basketball analyst Tom Stout, and myself. Glad to be back with you. We have some emails we'll get to. I just want to, before we forget about the 3A, Notre Dame boys and girls are in the state playoffs. The girls team played very tough against Southern Lehigh in the Colonial League Championship. Very impressed by Josh Kopp's team. So they're in the playoffs. The boys team found out they were district champions. The rumor was they heard it on the bus coming home. Which is an interesting scenario. But, Keith, your thoughts on Notre Dame's situation and their playoff hopes?
Well, hey, championship's a championship, but it's kind of a strange – that sub-regional thing is always a little weird. But they beat New Hope Solbury in the semifinals, and we knew they were going to be up against it. This is like an international team that they have down there at Valley Forge Military Academy. I mean, poor Eric Snyder, and the roughies went down there, and it's just brutal. But evidently Notre Dame played a much tougher, gave a good accounting of themselves and their district champs. Now they play a Hughesville District 4 champion tomorrow night, Friday night, and it wouldn't surprise me if Pat Boyle gets a win there. I mean, he's got a lot of young, talented kids. This Wilkins kid
Titus
is very
Wilkins,
nice.
Titus Wilkins, tremendous. And the Daniel, the little guy, Mitch. He might not be the best basketball player out there, but man, he'll get in your grill but he does a nice job with that team, Pat. He always does. But I was, the night we did the Bangor game, it came right down. Daniel hit a big three, and then there was a little play at the end. Or if I was a coach, I would have been a little upset too. But again,
you were screaming at the officials.
I thought it was a foul.
I thought it was a foul too, and because I equated it to like a defensive back. Kind of hitting the receiver on a pass play there, and tough way for them to lose that game, but they came back and did what they had to do. I think they won one game, and then they go right to New Hope Solbury? I think they had to go right to New Hope Solbury.
I believe so. They had
and that's the weird thing too. You have to play their home
like
course.
12 days off.
You have to shake off the rust.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
But Tom has a plan to reorganize the entire league and district
playoffs.
I would
like playoffs. To hear it.
He has a good idea.
In the EPC, why we have 18 teams. Am I right? 18 teams?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So you play each team once.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
you're 17, not the only coach 17 that has suggested
games.
That, yeah.
So then you can still play in a Christmas tournament. Mm-hmm. You can play in a preseason tournament. And you can pick up – and then you have about equal schedule where it's just going to play out, and you're going to have it. And again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it just makes sense.
It does.
Well, you two guys got to get together.
And district, then we wouldn't have
the powers that be will listen to that.
Then
right?
We would have years where Allen's not playing Parkland and Allen's not playing Central.
Come
they're
on.
In opposite divisions. I mean, Easton should be playing Nazareth every year. You talk about an old-time rivalry there.
And,
I mean.
It could be worked out. I don't see what the. And 1 year you're going to say, well, you won't get a home. And well, you go 1 year you play at home, and next year you play on the road.
Right.
And they don't get home now everywhere. Unless they accept in the division, you get home and home. But otherwise, you're one
but
home 1 year, and you have to wait.
But then going
to
play the same schedule. Everyone's going to play the same teams, and you're going to get a fair,
like,
true champion.
I like that idea. I really do, and a lot of people.
You can make it happen. They listen to you.
No, if I suggest it, they'll purposely go the other way.
No,
Trust me.
That's what you say, Chris.
Yeah. By the way, Greg Luray was the other guy I wanted to mention.
Excellent
Notre Dame
player.
Yeah, very heady. I really liked him, especially in that the Bangor game. In the Colonial League semifinals. I thought he played very well. All right, we have a bunch of emails coming in. Let's go to the phone lines first, though. Brian from Allentown wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Brian, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Brian, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Is this Statman?
It's Statman.
Oh, yeah, you know the answer.
Deppy.
Statman.
Get the heck out of here,
I thought you were bad because you kept getting these answers right
Where
all the time.
Where were you, Deppy? I didn't see you at the last game.
I was at work very much, Keith.
Well, I hope you did a good job slicing the meat at Weiss.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Don't knock his job.
No, I'm not knocking his job.
I might be looking for a job at Weiss Market very soon.
They have very good meat there.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. But you missed some of the biggest games of Allentown's year.
Yes, I did. I missed this Saturday, too. I hope they can win on Saturday and I can make it to Wednesday.
Okay. Well, you got to, Keith, a little rearrange your work schedule, too.
Yeah.
Well, he's fixing the league. All right. Brian, you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
Sure do.
Yeah, I bet you know this one. Who did Parkland lose to? Yeah, they lost to Roman Catholic last year, deep in the state finals. All right, Brian, you got a prediction for this weekend?
Canaries will win.
That's it? What do we need, point totals?
I'm going to say 63-48 Allen.
Ooh, all right. Well, thank you very much, Brian.
You're welcome. 63-48.
Yeah. Do you want to give me Hemphill in 15? Or 14?
Brian, thanks so much for giving
us. Oh, you're welcome. I wanted to wish Keith a happy belated birthday.
Thank you,
well,
sir.
That's very nice of you after he just ripped you.
I know. He's my buddy.
he knows
he's going to get the Kegger Award probably, unless somebody else sneaks me something. Yeah.
Love it, Brian. Not accepting bribes. Email Keek Roller at RCN. No, what's your?
KeekRoller@mcall.com.
Did you change your email, by the way? No. It's not Keith.
Both work at same. They go to the same place. Keith.Groller or KeekRoller@mcall.com. Both go to my same email.
All right. Well, anyone wants to suck up to Keith now? Who's sucking up to Gary?
And the personal, if you sure want that, is KeggerGroller@yahoo.com.
We're doing that the 23rd, right? We're gonna have a preview of the Keggers.
Yes, I hope we're gonna do something. I don't know.
I would like to. I always enjoy that every year. All right, we have the emails to get to. We have more state basketball playoffs. We got to wrap up already?
No.
He's jumping up. Your Dierif guy keeps jumping up. He wants us to talk about Dierif during a district basketball playoff
show. It pains me to say, but I might miss the Emmaus guy over there. It pains me to say that. It really does.
Well, we could talk about Becca. He wants to take credit for the girls' success, too. Let's get to some emails, though. Let's see. John on Twitter at Phil's 1964. Said, very easy. I'm sorry. Oh, he's answering a trivia question. He has two tweets here.
I know John's going to go back to the old times here, isn't he?
No. Right. 5A boys, definitely the most competitive. All seven teams belonged in the playoffs in that category. If you played them today, two different teams might reach the finals.
But John sent me, I know that, I don't know him personally, but I know his email. And he said, he wants to, God bless him, Dick Tracy and those guys, they always said, well, you got to be a league champion to get in the districts, and you got to win the district. Unfortunately, that isn't how sports works anymore. You got, look at the NBA, 16 teams go in. Look at the hockey. Look at even the baseball now. There's too much money to be made with all these playoffs, and we're not going to put the cows back in the barn or whatever that expression is.
No. I thought it was for the kids, to give more opportunities to kids.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But now I'm saying to John, I know the old school thinking is, you got to win. No, that's 1950s thinking, and unfortunately that doesn't jive with today's, everybody gets in opportunities.
All right, Fred from Allentown said, why didn't District 11 plan on hosting games at the PPL Center originally? I think they were trying to do that, but Keith, you're more of an insider.
I think they were always thinking about was holding the finals, for both wrestling and basketball.
Yeah.
And you can't. It's tough to get those weekend dates. If they had
play
a track,
Sunday,
they had a monster
jam. I mean, monster truck.
So if you in that
put them on Monday.
That has been mentioned, by the way. You're ahead. Maybe you were part of the conversation.
No, I wasn't.
It's been mentioned that. Well, maybe Gunnar Fox from PPL Center says, well, maybe if you go Sunday, we could accommodate
you. That would make sense. That's what
you
I
know.
Thought.
So, and look, and they need multiple days for the wrestling. So it's going to be tough to get the wrestling in there. But, yeah, they could move it to Sunday, have a championship triple header or something on a Sunday.
Yep. I think more people would come to it.
Tom, go ahead. Keith, maybe you can shed some light. I've been hearing things like the PPL Center, they won't entertain a thought of having something there if you can't guarantee 4,000 people. You hear something
I
like that?
I did not hear that. No,
okay,
that's
been going around in my, and I don't know. I'm just going by what people, and I don't know if there's any truth or validity to it, but, you know, I guess in the 6A boys, there was like 3,200 pre-sale tickets mm-hmm. But again, it would be nice to be able to have it there. And Sunday, if that could be worked out, that would be great.
And I think that would scare the business people. Like, if you have some of the smaller schools or some of the girls' programs, and some of the girls' programs follow well. I mean, Bangor had a great turnout mm-hmm. the other night. Several, Easton always draws well. But if you have some teams that have smaller schools or smaller fan bases, and you have 1,000 people there, that may, you know, you may not see the let's do it for the community quotes yeah. as prevalent as they were last week.
Well, as someone, I won't mention a name, told me that Bethlehem Catholic, the boys, they can go 100 miles to play, or they could go 10 miles or 5 miles, and their 46 fans will follow them wherever they go. I'm just saying, that was what I was told. So, again, there you go. We might not be able to fill the PPL
Make sure
center.
You can get Tom at the high school tomorrow, at Deerfield High School, if you have any complaints about that. One more email. Let's squeeze in here. I know we're late, and we got to get the Keith segment here. Richard No Town Given says, Keith and Chris, good to see you both back live on Thursdays. Were either of you surprised that the girls, the Nazareth girls, did not win districts? Hadn't they won the league and winter leagues the last few years? They didn't win the league last year. I know
they
that. I know, they won the summer
won
league.
They
won districts last year.
A thriller at the buzzer.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not surprised because Easton's a very good team. Well, Tom mentioned the reasons why.
They're in 1A, 1B. I mean, they're both veteran teams with great players. Yeah. You know, Brugler's going to go down as one of their all-time best. What's her name? Durnin's really close. Yeah. I mean, no, it's a shame. And another year, Nazareth certainly could have won that bracket. And maybe if they played, that's maybe if you want to see good girls basketball, maybe you want to have a best of five series with those two teams.
But just like the boys this year, the 6A girls, and you have to throw in Bethlehem Catholic girls, we've had some really good mm-hmm. girls teams in the area this year also. And it's playing out in the district. It played out in the leagues and the districts.
All right, more basketball talk coming up on the other side of this break. But right now it is Keith's segment. It is called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off on anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
I'm going to be positive tonight for a change.
What?
I get all my nastiness out directed at you,
it's
Chris.
It's in your water.
But I want to salute Lincoln, first of all. Lincoln, we didn't mention that. I don't think we're going to get the single A. Lincoln leadership. Look, I don't want to get political, but look, they're kids. And evidently, they're doing a really good job at Lincoln, from what I understand from the coach. And they have a great following. They're bringing all the students out to these games. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of people at Freedom tomorrow night when they're part of they're one of the boys' games in a triple header, as girls before and girls after. So I look forward to. I congratulate Maurice Moore. I think he's doing a lot of good things with those kids who are at-risk kids. I mean, from Allentown and Bethlehem. Also, I want to salute Nazareth Wrestling. We're going to have them here next week. I won't be here. Don't shed too many tears, Chris. I won't be here, but
I wish you were here.
My salute to Dave Kroll and that wonderful bunch of guys. I will be back, however, on March the 23rd, and I'm looking forward to that show. I want to give that show a plug because I have it arranged. Sarah Pastoyek, right? Is that pronouncing that correctly? Mm-hmm. Sarah Hinkle to me,
yes.
But that means
Pastoyek.
Her married name is Pastoyek, and she is the director of the two-time Freddie Award-winning production theater group at Deerfield High School. She's going to be here. She's got a softball background, and we're going to also visit with Jen Wesco, who was a 1,000-point scorer at Liberty, and she is an award-winning director at Freedom. Freedom's got Peter Pan. Deerfield's got Jesus Christ Superstar. Freddie Award season is here. Get out there. Hey, I want you to get out there, support the kids in basketball and get out to the sporting events, but get out to see these plays. I've already seen one. Northwestern did a great job with Legally Blonde. I snuck in up there. with Jason Zimmerman helping me out. And I got up there. I took a break from the basketball last week one night. And I want to encourage you. We got great kids doing. Hey, and also, talk about singing. One of the highlights.
Don't sing.
One of the highlights. I did already with Toomey Anderson. But anyway,
yeah, that was bad.
One of the highlights. It was good. I want to see you try it. Anyway, Mr. Barry Manilow. But the two national anthems, Emma Marhefka of William Allen and Liam Nixon, who was a quarterback. Isn't he a backup quarterback
yes.
for Becca?
Yep.
They set the tone for the evening with two beautiful renditions of the national anthem, part of a spectacular night at PPL Center. Get out there, see these choral groups, get out there, see the plays, and looking forward to March 23rd, right here, with the great Chris Michael on what do we call the show?
The Keith Grohler.
The Gary Laubach wannabe show?
We'll call
it. Whatever we call it. But be here. I'm not going to be here. He'll enjoy it next week. I'll be back on March 23rd.
Well, I won't be here anymore after that comment. A quick reminder, check out RCN all weekend long. We'll have high school basketball playoff action, as you might imagine. Friday night, our scheduled Northampton girls versus Philadelphia Central will be live on the air at 5 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, we will have the Easton girls taking on Central Bucks East, CB East. Out of District 1. And then on Saturday, we'll have more live basketball coverage. Southern Lehigh girls taking on Dover. They're the number 7 seed out of District 3. John Leone and I will have that game. And then the great Gary Laubach and Tom Stout, both the greatest announcers of RCN's history, will have both the live coverage of the Becca boys taking on Greater Nanticoke and then Parkland versus Archbishop Ryan.
It's like Dick Enberg and Billy Packer when they work together. It's magic.
And we'll have more previews of those games coming up on the other side of this break if we are back for the next segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, starring the one and only Keith Grohler and Tom Stout from the RCN Basketball Department. Continuing with the previews, we gave you the tease of our games on the air before the break. So going through the 6A bracket first, we'll start with them. And Keith and Tom, you can sound off. Tom, you're broadcasting the game on RCN. Parkland taking on Archbishop Ryan. That'll be our live game on Saturday night. William Allen's also playing Hempfield up in Lititz. And Emmaus is going to be at Council Rock South to take on Cheltenham. So, Keith and Tom, your thoughts on the 6A boys?
Well, I think Parkland has a tough match.
Yeah, they have three college players are going against
them. 6'9", 6'7", and then Brockington, Isaiah Brockington, 6'4". And, you know, that's going to be a tough – but if Parkland can – again, if they can make their threes and maybe play their defense, you never know. But I think that's of the matchups of the first round, I think that's the toughest for our – they're all tough, but I like Allen against Hempfield. Earlier this year, Hempfield played Nazareth, and you can't do that. You can go back and forth, and they beat Nazareth by 4. They might not have had their entire squad, but still, they were down 31-9 to Harrisburg, and Harrisburg's an excellent team, but I like Allen's chances there. Emmaus, Cheltenham got hot. Yeah, they got hot. They beat Perkiomen Valley, I believe, and then they got to where they were.
I think they got trounced by Coatesville, I think, in the semi.
And, you know, as the Calcarese brothers go, so is that team. You know, hopefully the big guys can contribute.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Hopefully Artis and Zabel. They need to, you know, not be, you know, stand out-ish, but just put solid numbers there and give them some inside presence, because the Calcarese brothers, I'm gonna miss a lot of guys from this year, but those two, they're fun to watch. They never get tired. And who am I missing? I'm missing one more game. Pocono Mountain West. I like West. West is just, they don't have a lot of depth, but my God, their first five players are fantastic.
Are you okay? You dropped your mic there. It's got to be on the outside, too, by the way.
I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
Do we really want to sometimes?
I agree with that.
We need your 6A.
No, I agree with everything he said there. I think of the four teams, I think Parkland's got the toughest task. I think 50-50 game with Emmaus and Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. I think Allen's a prohibitive favorite against Hempfield. And Pocono West can hit. Now, the thing about Laura Marion, Greg Downer,
He's been here a long time, and he might slow the tempo down.
They did against Allen in that tournament.
They went four corners.
What they don't have now, Lower Merritt, they have three good solid guards, so that could help them. But I don't think they have the inside presence. I think Jalen Vaughn's and even at Travis Elmore, they're just relentless on the boards.
I think Szabo's a key, though, for Emmaus. That's what I started to say when I lost my mic here. I thought if he had played, and he's a young man.
He's in 10th grade, sophomore.
And if he had played a little bit better against Pocono West, you got to have some moves there when you're going against guys like Lance Singh. If he comes along, he's a key factor for them. They need him to deliver, and he didn't deliver. He's a young man. I'm going to cut him some.
And he missed all
slack,
last year too.
He made some nice moves, but he put the ball up with his left hand. He likes that move. But if I'm 6'8", and I know Coach Yoder, I'm sure is telling him, Mr. Szabo, you got to show your let someone know you're out there. Knock someone over, even if you foul them. Just to show that, hey, I'm 6'8", and I'm a bruiser. And he needs to make his presence felt that way. And if he can do that, and along with Josh Artist, they got a shot.
All right, 5A, there's no teams in our coverage area, so we're going to move on to the 4A boys. Becca, of course, certainly looking for a long playoff run. They open up on Saturday against Greater Nanticoke. Again, we'll have that game live at 4:30 on Saturday. Salisbury, I thought, had an interesting draw. They had the District 2 champ, Scranton Prep, but we've seen teams go up there and have success. So your thoughts on the 4A bracket, and can Salisbury pull off what some would consider an upset?
I call them the pogo stick team because they're up and down, up and down, up and down. And they played great in the quarterfinals and then laid an egg in the semifinals of the 4A tournament to Jim Thorpe. Never showed up. I mean, Jackson Costello was unbelievable in that first round game. I forget who it was against.
It was
not Lower Merion.
Octorara. He had zero. Yeah. He had nothing. No points in the first quarter. He wound up with 35.
Yeah, 35. He was phenomenal. They hammered a Saucon team that didn't seem like they wanted to be there on Saturday afternoon over at Easton, or Friday night, I should say. Yeah. But yes, Salisbury's got a chance, but the team clearly to keep your eye on 4A is no question about it. It's Bethlehem Catholic. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the roundtable. The roundtable is where we have a variety of different topics, local, regional, and national nature, concerning some of the hot topics, both in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Let's start with topic number one. For this one, we'll start with high school basketball. Who is your standout player or on a short list of outstanding players during the district playoff run? Can be Lehigh Valley or beyond if you saw any teams from outside the Lehigh Valley. Mr. Stout, we'll start with you.
Well, there's two that, performances. Mm-hmm. Sam Iorio, that's a historic performance in the PPL Center. He'll remember, that'll be something he'll be remembering. His grandfather, his parents, grandma, all proud of him. But someday he'll be looking back on that and he'll be saying, wow, he just single-handedly, and Allen didn't have an answer. And he's put up some. We also did a game early, district playoffs. But he that game that night in that venue, that's special. Yeah. And I thought him and the other one, Keith, you'll agree. The district championship, Lance Singh. Yeah. You talk about it. That was almost. I said this. Maybe I'm almost Barbosa level sort of. He was getting to that. He was just knocking everything down. Singh, and they couldn't. They had no answer.
Well, I'm going to throw in. I know his. He didn't win in the semis or the finals. But David Kakaris put 99 points on the board in three games. He's had an outside shot of 2,000 in his career, and he's just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They have lost three out of four in the postseason. They lost that quarterfinal at the North.
They almost lost to Whitehall to start the postseason.
Right.
In the last
they come back. They beat Freedom in the night that he became the all-time leading scorer. But then they lost to both Pocono Mountain West and to Allen. But David Kakaris, as I think Tommy said earlier, we're going to miss watching that young man perform. He was just phenomenal.
One name I want to throw out, Marissa Fernandez from Bangor. I thought she was exceptional. Bangor, they had Southern Lehigh. 13-9 early in the second half of that game. And, the 5A, there was only one team that goes. You're talking about Southern Lehigh, one of the best girls teams in the state. They almost didn't even make the state playoffs if Bangor could have held on and pulled off the upset. And she was a big reason why Bangor was in that game for as long as they were. All right, topic number two. The Major League Baseball is suggesting a whole bunch of rule changes. One has taken effect, apparently, with the international walk. Instead of throwing the four pitches, the pitcher just goes...
which I'm sure is going to cause arguments because if he's, you know, wiping his brow, is that an intentional walk? But there's several other rule changes, like putting a man on second base to start extra innings, starting with a 1-1 count. Let's see, what's another one? Raising the strike zone to where it should be in the first place, which never works. They already put the clock in, which no one pays attention to anyway. Do you like these changes to speed up the game and make them more attractive to younger viewers?
I can think of a man who we, both of you guys well know, and certainly I did, Ron Punkin-Miller, spinning in his grave over some of these changes, especially the one about starting an inning at second base. Oh, he would go crazy in that. I don't think he'd even like the intentional walk thing. No. But what he always said, and Tommy probably heard it a million times, just follow the rule book on the strike zone and have every umpire follow the rules and call that strike zone. And they don't do it. Everybody, right. Why should you have to adjust to a different strike zone depending on who's behind the plate? He railed against that, and I agree with him.
Again, some postage stamp, others call a high pitch. Again, it was always taught. When I was way back when we first started to play, it was from the knees to like your shoulder, you know, the strike. And called that, if that's what it is, then call it. And the games will move much faster.
And how in the world does all these things make it attractive to younger viewers? I mean, are you going, wow, the game's 3 hours and 42 minutes as opposed to 3 hours and 52 minutes, so now kids are going to watch the game.
I'm going to tell you something.
They were so clueless on this.
As a kid, I wanted the longer game. I wanted the longer game. As a reporter, I want the shorter game. I root for the pitchers in baseball and softball. But
as a kid, I wanted 12-10 games. I wanted home runs. But, Keith, I was talking with Chris before. Since the Phil, I can't remember the last time I watched a baseball game, a full game. And I love baseball's my whole family, but times of where I'll watch bits and pieces. But to me, the last time probably was when the Phillies were really, you know, in that window period where they were doing well. But I don't watch baseball, and that hurts. And I love baseball.
I tell you what, I still enjoy though. Nothing like for me driving around its valley as I often do. And turning on and hearing the Phillies, or even the Iron Pigs, I love to listen to baseball on the radio. Sometimes I think I like it better on the radio than I like it on TV.
By the way, Scott Francis is going to be joining us coming up in a few weeks.
That's going to be great.
Answer for the Phillies. All right, our last segment's coming up on the other side of this break. We will continue with our roundtable, including getting Tom and Keith's thoughts on who were the best five Lehigh Valley basketball players in order, at a definitive answer when we come back. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, getting a few more people emailing us. Glad we're back on the air live, so we're glad to be back as well. We will be here on Thursday nights for the foreseeable future, I think now through Thanksgiving maybe. So unless there's a
maybe you're going to be here every Thursday.
No, you got to be here every Thursday. Yeah, I want you here next week for the wrestling show for the Nazareth team too. But as of now, we are on the schedule for the next several months, barring any winter basketball games on Wednesday that get snowed out and get moved to Thursday. What's the latest forecast, by the way, for tomorrow? Are you going
to 1 to 3 inches?
Is Gary picking you up in the Hummer or something there? So you make sure you guys get to the game. All right, final segment of the show. Continuing with the round table topics, and this is the question I've been wanting to ask these guys for quite a few weeks now. Some of the best basketball players we've ever seen in the area. Whose phone's going off here?
Mine is.
Pulling in Adam Schefter, you're going to get up and walk out because your phone's
ringing? I even have it on mute and it's still going. Obviously, it's not a viewer of this show or they would know not to bother me.
Well,
this
Adam Schefter, you see that this afternoon? He got up and walked off on the set live on ESPN this afternoon.
Because his phone went off?
Yeah, his phone went off. Wow. He said, I got to take this call and left. All right. Top five basketball players in order. Who's five, four,
let
three,
Tommy
two,
go
and
first.
One?
This is a difficult question,
this
and
is
we
a hard
sat
to
in
do
some
this.
Other places mm-hmm. and talked yes. about this, and I flip-flopped a couple times, and I wanted to see, this is what I have: Tyrese Martin, number one, David Calcarese, number two, Sam Iorio, number three, Talique Williams, number four, and I have Jalen Vaughns as number five. And there's a couple guys left out there that are pretty darn good.
I think Nick King at Freedom, I think he's very underrated. He deserves in the top five.
Not very nice player.
Yeah. Keith?
Well, I've juggled, and here's the problem. Any one of the in another year, any one of these could be the player there. Any one of them. Yeah. But I'm going to go with Sam Iorio. He carried Parkland on. You know, I think he's got the least amount of talent around. I mean, I know Zeke's become a nice player. Bartholomew could hit the three now and then. But I think he's got to do more with his team than anybody else. So I'm going to go Sam one. I'm going to go with Tyrese Martin, two. I'm going to go with David Kakalreese, three. Who's left? Jalen Bonds,
yep.
Four. And Tyleek Williams, five.
Wow. All right. You heard it here from the experts. Tom, do you want to weigh in? Do you have a sixth person?
No, I just want, you know, Keith, valid points, but, you know, we saw what Allen did when Mr. Martin cramped up in that ball game. But
that was key.
Yeah.
That was key. But it's tough. Yes. I mean, I can give you reasons for every one of those five. Every one of them.
I agree.
All right, topic number four, day one for NFL free agency. If you're just getting home, you missed it. The Eagles fans, they got Alshon Jeffrey, signed him to a one-year deal. Torrey Smith, the solid number two. He can move Jordan Matthews to the slot. And they released Connor Barwin. Washington, at the first part of the day, they lost defensive end Chris Baker and DeSean Jackson to Tampa Bay. And then rumors on ESPN were swirling that Cousins wants to be traded. He wants to get out of Washington. And then later in the day, they sign Stacy McGee to a five-year deal and DJ Swearinger, among others. So day one in the NFL. We'll start with a Rams fan. Did the Rams do anything?
Yeah, they picked up Robert Woods from the former USC. So maybe going back to his old stadium will help him. I don't know. They're a mess out there. But no, it's certainly they're trying to address, you know, one of their biggest needs, and that's certainly the wide receiver. I think Jeffrey is better than Torrey Smith. I don't know what Tommy thinks, but I think need a cornerback. They need a cornerback.
Well, I like the Cowboys, and the last I heard, we still have Tony Romo, but
he's playing Bob Dylan songs, though, saying he's out of town. All right, my thanks to Tom Stout and Keith Groller. Again, check out all the great basketball action coverage by Keith Groller in the Morning Call this weekend, and Tom, along with Gary and all of us, bringing you high school state basketball playoff action this weekend on RCN. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.